Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Hello, and thanks for downloading and subscribing. This is That Nerd Dad Podcast. I am That Nerd Dad, Joe Williamson. How are you? How are you? I got the Sonic background today, if you're watching on YouTube, because I didn't feel like setting up my my backdrop to hide the mess. So I went with a virtual backdrop. Might do this more often. Looks all right. Guest today. You know him. You love him, probably. Sean Shapiro is back. I think this is a record-setting appearance. Nobody has appeared on the show more than Sean Shapiro. I think this is fourth, maybe fifth appearance. And we're talking back to school stuff. Kids go back to school next week, so we're talking back to school. And I always love to make him uncomfortable. So towards the end, I say something that makes police constable Sean Shapiro a little uncomfortable. Enjoy. Welcome back, Officer Sean Shapiro. I'm just diving right into it. How the hell are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. I got no complaints. It is a Thursday, and I got lots of sleep because I fell asleep putting the kids to bed in the rocking chair.
Did you really?
I did. I did. Not that they were on me. I was in the room in proximity, and they were going to sleep, and I think one started to drift away, and I was out.
Did you wake up with like a crooked neck?
I was woken up, I don't know what time that was, okay, and told that I should get into bed. And I felt horrible, miserable, achy and contorted, and my arms were like weak, and I got into bed, I went back to sleep, and that was it. I brushed my teeth, that was the only thing I did.
I also actually had a good night's sleep. My 4-month-old slept through the night last night. He hadn't in like 2 weeks. So we were kind of on that like, okay, we're starting to change the routine a little bit. Are we sleep sacking him too tight? Is it too dark? Is it too light? Is there enough ambient noise? Is there not enough ambient noise? Like, we were kind of at that stage. And then all of a sudden last night, got to be 9 hours straight. And we're just like, whatever we did, we're going to try and replicate that tonight. So
cool. Well, fingers crossed that you actually get to sleep through the night.
Once in a while, man. I messaged you on Monday and you were like, I can't do this. I'm doing a child seat summit. What's a child seat summit?
So this is it's a summit. It's a whole bunch. No, what it is a manufacturer put together an opportunity for members of the community that are all interested in, you know, child seat safety, passenger safety, to get together and discuss what's up. And we heard from a incredible CPST, someone who is an installer, a technician, told their story about their experiences and how they came to be. And unfortunately, this was a tragic experience for them. They lost two of their children and their sister-in-law to a collision, and that changed the path of their life, obviously, but also made them interested in helping others. We heard from members of the Transport Canada, from the MTO, from SIPSAC, which is an agency or an organization that trains people on how to put child seats in, and learned about some emerging technologies, and they also had coffee and juice.
I'm on mute here. Anything interesting jump out at, because I know before my first child was born, we did one of the local things that are kind of, I think, run by, I think it was like a fire station or something. And we went and learned how to properly install the car seat. And they kind of like, they won't let you leave unless it's properly installed correctly. So we did that for the first child. We didn't do it for the second one or third because it's kind of like, man, who cares about them? But that was the mindset of, we got to make sure we do this right. Is there anything that came out of that child seat summit that might be new or kind of like they're looking at things differently?
Well, I will tell you
that technology evolves.
So they do have some new technologies that this particular manufacturer was talking about, and that is they have a rear facing seat that allows it to swivel so you can load and then swivel back into place, which I think is really cool and would have been good for me when I was, you know, dealing with car seats of that size and shape for children of that age. What is interesting, and it's, I may have known it, but the stats were provided and it really reminded me of just how important this is. 73% of child car seats used or installed or used and installed correctly. Used and or installed correctly. Incorrectly, my bad. Let's try that again. Child safety restraints, the child seats, 73% of them are not installed or are being used correctly. Not
73% aren't being used correctly.
I think I said
I'll right summarize it for you.
Thank you. Here's the tripping over my tongue today. The deal is that I when I was on the road doing enforcement, every time I saw a child seat, I inspected it. I made sure that it was properly done or they didn't leave without it being corrected or they didn't leave at all. They had to take a taxi with a, or call somebody else to transport the child in a safe way. I cannot tell you how scary it is to realize that someone driving on the road may have a child in a seat in a way that would cause them to die. And that's really remarkable. I pulled one person over, and I've told this story a few times, but mom and dad both using their cell phones. Well, actually, mom was on a laptop in the passenger seat. Dad was on the cell phone at a light. So I was pulling them over anyway. And when I pulled them over, I noticed, you know, little Bobby in the back seat, and you know, instructed them to roll down the window, put my hand in, said hello to the kid with a little shake, and the whole seat was just sitting on the seat, not attached in any way, shape, or form to the car. It was just sitting there, a child seat with a child properly buckled, thankfully, inside the rocket ship that was going to take them to the moon, because in a collision, they would have become a projectile and that child would not have survived. So
it was just sitting on the back seat. There.
No seatbelt over it. No connection to the rapid mounts.
No lap belt. No nothing.
Nada. They had the harness and the seat was just on the back seat. It blew me away. I actually went back to my car. I was so upset that I was getting emotional about it.
Yeah.
I was a new dad or a newer dad then. And obviously they got a ticket for everything, but they also got a very quick lesson. I used to be a certified installer for car seats.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had the ability to correct the issue and they were actually able to leave the scene. I wrote copious notes. That infuriates me. And I assume that they love their child, but they weren't doing a good job of showing it.
Look, I'll speak for myself. I think we've all driven away from wherever you were attending and maybe forgotten to buckle the child. I made it home once and my child, I didn't, the top, didn't mm-hmm. connect it. The bottom was connected.
The breast clip. So you didn't take yeah.
I just do it. Got distracted, whatever I was doing, maybe loading the car, whatever. And then I got home and I was like, holy crap. However, the car seat itself was installed correctly.
Well, that's
but cool. I don't think it would have made much of a difference at that point. And I have heard in the back seat, from the back seat, Dada, I'm not buckled. Let me do that. Let me come do that.
I have very vocal children who tell me whenever I do anything wrong, so they got my back.
Okay. The two hands on the wheel thing.
Uh-huh.
My kids have heard a song, I think from the Wiggles, that talk about two hands on the wheel. So when I'm driving with one hand on the wheel, Dada, don't forget two hands. When you are old enough to drive, you can coach me on how my driving techniques, but not yet.
Well, they're not wrong. When the Wiggles say so, it must be true. It
must be true.
Listen, ultimate safety driving. You should always have your hands on the wheel, and they should be in the appropriate place so you can respond to changes in the, you know, ahead. But I even have my kids, and I'm not a speeder. I'm very big on going the speed limit. My youngest, who sits in such a way that her view is exactly showing the corner of my GPS that shows when it's 1 kilometer over, and it turns red, and she goes, Dada, you're a policeman. You have to be a good example. 1 kilometer. And I appreciate that because if not, God forbid, I was going 1 kilometer.
You're like, damn, be cool.
Yeah. Like, what are you, a traffic cop or something?
Okay, we're going to I'll talk to speeding here for a second because you're kind of talking about it. Back to school is coming up. I think it pisses a lot of people off. I'll use that language. When they are in a school zone and they're walking their kids to school and guys are forgetting that it's school time. What can we do about those individuals?
Oh,
I know it's a million-dollar question, probably.
Well, speeding is an issue. It's a big issue. And we seem to have a problem in that people don't think it's important. And for those, we need enforcement, and we need the cameras. We need all that next level, hit them where it hurts, which is the pocketbook, to encourage them not to do it again. But we also know that that does not always work, and they ultimately need to lose their licenses, which doesn't always work because some people drive without those too. But, you know, we do a lot of education, and we do have an enhanced enforcement routine during school lunch where we spend a lot of time reminding people that the speed limits are speed limits. And the sad truth is that it doesn't matter whether school's in session or not. You're not allowed to speed. It's pretty simple. I think we should start adding speed bumps every 8 inches, and that might slow people down.
I don't think it would. I don't think it would. I've always, and I'm gonna put a hypothesis out here for you, maybe a hypothetical, and you tell me how in the wrong I would be. I've always wanted to carry like a tennis ball with me.
You're probably in the wrong.
Sorry?
I said you're probably in the wrong. Go on.
Yeah. And like when I see a car going too fast through a school zone, throw it out in front of the car. Not at the car, okay. In front of the car to simulate a child darting onto the road.
That's actually a very interesting situation or suggestion. However, the potential of them swerving to avoid and then hitting a child is very high. So I wouldn't suggest actually doing that. But I do like where you're going. I think in theory, that's a good concept for demonstrating the what ifs, right?
Right.
I've heard of people throwing cans of oil at drivers. I mean, these are bad things.
Jesus.
but I also appreciate someone's desire to protect their community. That's just not the right way to do it. At the end of the day, heightened enforcement and reporting these kind of drivers, whether it be you actually get their license plate and report that individual to the police, because we have a website, allows you to make those reports. So if you see, Bobby Joe in their BMW go by, get their license plate, take a picture. Why not? Make a report and say, I saw them doing this. They appeared to be going well above the speed limit. You can't actually know how fast they're going, but you were.
I had my radar gun out. I clocked them at 78. I took a picture of it.
You got skills.
Yeah. Can you as a citizen request, hey, I'd love a cop to hang out by the neighborhood one day just to take a look at the amount of cars I'm seeing?
So again, back to the website, you can make a neighborhood driving complaint that if you're in the city of Toronto, and most jurisdictions have similar things, you go to tps.ca and you can choose to make either a report of a specific driver or a neighborhood complaint. And that would allow officers in that division to become aware of it and try and spend more time there. They would be assigned that as one of the go-to locations. And that's a great way to do it, especially and with more information. Like if you can say between the hours of 9 and 10 a.m., this is a major problem. And they will put that as a local issue on their map of sorts, and someone will get assigned to it.
Is there anything else that drivers and pedestrians, cyclists, we're all in this together, need to be aware of with back to school?
So we whenever we change something, it's crisis. Whether it be changing to summertime hours and camp, or going back to school and everyone's rushing and everyone's being relaxed for the whole summer, it's crisis. Any change is crisis, good, bad, or otherwise. People are going to be off their game, and it's going to take a period of time for people to get back into it. Some of those things, you know, preparing lunches and getting up before noon, it's just change. So we need to be overcompensating, giving ourselves extra time to get to where we need to go so that we're not rushing, so we're not cutting corners, so we're not making poor decisions on the road and putting everybody at risk. And I mean yourself and everybody else around. Parking tends to be a huge problem because everyone gets there just in the nick of time and then does all sorts of dangerous things when it comes to parking, blocking roads, creating issues that ripple through the community because now you've done something that was a bonehead move that creates somebody else a situation that now they're going to be late and look bad. So they create a series of boneheads moves, and now the whole city's angry. We want to avoid this. We want no one to get hurt. We want no one to get killed. We want no one to have a bad day as a result of what one guy or girl did in the morning that set off a cascading effect. So you know what? The biggest thing is plan ahead. I always give the advice of make every effort to have everything ready to go the next day. You sleep in, doesn't matter because everything's already done. There's no panic. leaving early, giving yourself time. In the policing world, we say early is on time. On time is late. Late is unacceptable. And that's great, except for the fact that if you're actually on time, you're on time and no one's crying about it. If you're late, the worry that people have about looking bad is so incredibly powerful that they put their lives at risk to avoid it. And that's where we see the biggest problem.
They put other people's lives at risk. They take chances.
That you would yell at somebody else for doing it, but somehow you rationalize and make it totally okay yourself because you're the one who might look bad that day.
It's the George Carlin bit, right? Anyone going faster than you is an idiot. Anyone going slower than you is a moron. Something like that.
George Carlin.
The guy cleaned it up a little bit, but essentially that's what he was saying.
You might have removed a number of words that can't be said on TV.
At least seven of them. let's talk e-scooters. Were recently with the on the CBC to talk about it. I think that is going to come into play more and more frequently, especially with, let's say, high school students, because I'm seeing more and more kids whipping around on the e-scooter. I myself have a scooter. It's not an e-scooter. I bought a manual scooter that could, I had to Google manual scooter for 250 pounds. I'm not there, but I wanted to make sure this thing would hold me.
And you want to make sure you can, you can accommodate Christmas dinner.
Exactly. But I found one. So mine's manual. But I see a lot of kids whipping around on just the e-scooters. And, you know, there's various services now that you can just pick one up and drive it around. Mm-hmm. Thoughts? Where are we at with e-scooters in the city of Toronto and just in general?
So in general, this is actually a very interesting case to unpack. In Toronto, they're not permitted. Why? Because the province came together and put forth a pilot project. So they're if they conform to the rules, which is not being capable of going over 24 kilometers an hour on a flat surface, not having a motor more than 500 watts, not having a seat, that's a big one, and not carrying cargo, those basics allow someone to operate them where they're permitted and where the municipality has allowed them. Toronto said no. Well, Toronto looked into this stuff and said the number of hospital visits in areas that allowed them just went up tremendously. Huge number of head injuries, huge number of injuries in general. Small diameter wheels, not so good in potholes and whatnot. I don't know what that says about us, but whatever. There are definitely issues with these being used in the community. I think they're great. I own one. And I stopped using it the moment it was a pilot and made it unlawful. Because we do a lot of things when we don't know that there's a specific rule about it. Mine collects dust. Anyway, if it goes 25 kilometers an hour, that is illegal. That's a motor vehicle that requires license ownership and insurance. Can't be used anywhere except private property in the province of Ontario, regardless of what the ministry says. And that makes it something eligible for driving without insurance, which is $5,000 to $25,000 and up to 6 months in jail. Drive without a license if you don't have one. Drive with an unsafe motor vehicle on. Like, there's a ton of charges. You'd be really in a bad spot. What I can tell you also is that when they're involved in motor vehicle collisions, they are very serious collision or injuries as a result of them. You're in a standing position. People get broken very easily. I don't think we realize just how fragile we are as humans.
So even, I mean, you've discussed in the past that you've been in a serious motorcycle accident. Mm-hmm. Do they scare you more than motorcycles?
They're different. You know, I have to say that I said 25 kilometers an hour, it's illegal.
That's hella fast. Like, 25
kilometers an hour, it's fast. E-bikes can go 32 legally and still not require license ownership and insurance. But what we've actually seen is these doing 50, 60, 70, 90. I have video that of an Australian police service chasing one on the highway, on the freeway, the expressway, doing 90, 100 kilometers an hour. Some of them are rocket ships. They have 0 to 60 and nothing because they're very light. They're all torque. And I don't think people appreciate that when you fly off these, you're going to get seriously hurt. And they slide out on wet surfaces. They're just not a stable vehicle platform.
They're not a, I'm going to use the word vehicle. They're not a vehicle. They are, they're a toy. Maybe shouldn't be used as a primary method of transportation.
They're an interesting vehicle. They are absolutely vehicles. In fact, under the Criminal Code of Canada, if you're drunk on one of those, if you're impaired, you're going to get arrested for impaired driving. It's the same as driving a car. And that goes for e-bikes and even mobility scooters. You cannot be impaired while operating any of these motor vehicles, even if it's one that qualifies as a bicycle because it's legal in some areas. Like people don't get that. And some people are using these vehicles because they have a suspended license,
yeah,
because they had DUIs. So it's a very, I get the idea that you got to go places. I get the idea that this is economical and good for the environment, all that jazz, but it's not the ideal one, and certainly not one that you should be using in Toronto. In Toronto, we have a bylaw, and using one there, even if it's like legal in Mississauga, you drive it across the border, you're looking at a $110 fine. If it's one that is qualified as a motor vehicle because it breaks the rules that are set forth in the pilot, now you're talking big money.
Can it affect your demerit points insurance?
If it's one that is faster, then it absolutely, it's a motor vehicle and the charges would apply to your license. So yeah, if you're speeding, if you were doing 90 in a 60 and you were on an e-kick scooter, yeah, you're getting points. You're getting charged for a whole bunch of stuff and you're getting a speeding ticket.
Now I'm just going to fire off rapid questions because a whole bunch have sprung to mind. I apologize in advance.
No apology necessary.
The type of helmet that's required. Is it different from a bike to a motorcycle, and where does it fall?
So if it's legal under the, if it's legal 24 kilometer and lower qualifying e-kick scooter or e-bike that does under 32, a bicycle helmet will suffice. If okay. It's a motor vehicle, well, you know, you're getting charged for everything, but technically a motorcycle helmet would be required.
So in theory, the kicker would be, and you have the wrong helmet on.
Oh yeah. And if you're getting everything, you're really getting everything. You know, we had someone using an electric unicycle. That is a prohibited.
I was just about to ask about that.
I beat you to it. Electric unicycles, really cool in theory vehicles. They are motor vehicles, are prohibited in the province of Ontario. They can't be anywhere except private property, not on parks, not on sidewalks, nowhere. And that goes for all these other devices too. You can't be on the sidewalk in Toronto. You can't be in parks. And parks, by the way, have a 20 kilometer an hour maximum speed for anything, rollerblading, bicycling, like 20 kilometers an hour max.
If you're 20 kilometers on rollerblades, please do not hit a bump.
Well, that aside, because that's a whole bunch of, yeah, wear pads, do all this stuff. But electric unicycle, I watched video that I slowed down frame by frame. And this was someone who was driving 40, 50 kilometers an hour on the street. And someone turned left in front of them. Not the reason, the person turning was at fault for the collision, but the guy on the electric unicycle gets charged for unsafe motor vehicle and everything that goes along with it, because we're talking about a vehicle that can do 70 plus kilometers an hour, doesn't even have brakes. Yes, it can reduce the speed, but think about this. It's a unicycle. If you locked up that wheel, you would instantly face plant at 70K. So there's no brakes.
Was it one of those electric ones where there's actually no seat and you're just kind of balancing? It's like a Una hoverboard?
Yeah. Now, some of them have seats so you can sit down on them.
Okay.
And that technically is a motorcycle right away. In fact, an e-kick scooter with a seat, instantly a motorcycle. I have video of one yesterday. I haven't downloaded it for my dash cam. I couldn't believe it. It gets just right through a stop sign and then goes the wrong way down a one way. And that qualifies as a motorcycle.
Because it has a seat.
It has a seat. Now, it may be compliant in all other ways, but you put a seat on it, it's a motorcycle. And people say, well, what's the difference between that? Like, why? It's so small. It's a toy. No, a Tesla is a car. It has an electric motor, but it's a car. And there's some kind of disconnect where people don't want to accept that these are motor vehicles because I bought it at Walmart or Costco. Just because it didn't come from a dealership doesn't make it less of a motor vehicle. I don't understand where the disconnect is, because I get it. Mind you, I will warn everybody watching that you can buy a prohibited or illegal kick scooter at places like Sporting Life. They sell a 9-butt upgraded one, does 30 kilometers an hour. That's enough to get you a big ticket. Costco sells it too.
Because it's not illegal to own.
It's not illegal to own.
If you want to put around on your own private property, it's not illegal for you to own this item. It's when we start to take it out to the streets.
Right.
And that's when it becomes a problem.
You know, do you remember going to Canadian Tire as a kid and new driver going, oh, license plate frame and a little sticker on there says not for road use, fog lights or
I don't recall that sticker, but okay.
Really? I totally remember that sticker. And that's the way that the seller gets away with selling you something that is not intended for road use. Some exhaust systems you buy at a shop, Canadian Tire included, will say not, you know, this is for track only or this is not for road use. It is your responsibility before you do something. You're the driver. You're the person who has the ability. Just because the shop sells it doesn't make it legal. And we're seeing a whole bunch of things. And I saw you were about to go for it. I'm going to just continue.
Go for it. No, keep going.
There's a series of e-bikes being sold. They look like racing motorcycles, right? They look like R1s or whatever. They are absolutely not e-bikes. Granted, they have pedals that are there for show. I don't think you get like 3 feet trying to pedal with them. They're there to meet some the regulatory requirement, but they have a wire limiter that keeps it at 32 kilometers an hour. You can't have a motor more than 500 watts. Well, it's got well over 500 watts back there, but because the wire, the dealers are selling you these, and then they're telling you if you unplug this wire, it does 80 kilometers an hour. Well, it's capable of going faster than 32. The motor is well over 1,000 watts, from my understanding. There's nothing legal about it. And I think what you're going to find is a whole bunch of people getting charged very, very, with some very, very big charges as things continue and education gets out to everybody. The people that are skirting the law, paying for license ownership and insurance and making sure they have the safety equipment that's required. Yeah, I hope to see fewer of these on the road going forward.
No, I don't think that. I think it's going to be the opposite.
Well, I just think those people are going to get hammered as officers understand that just based on looking at it, you know, it's not something that's legal.
Now, I'm going to play devil's advocate for a moment here. The technology exists for us to put these limiters on cars. Mm-hmm. What's the difference? Why aren't we putting a limiter on a car to say you can't go faster than 110? We'll let you go 110.
I love that you brought this up. I personally would love to see every motor vehicle on the road requiring a limiter to prevent them from speeding. I am so personally, and I'm not speaking on behalf of the Toronto Police, but personally against speeding, that I would love to see the right or ability taken away from people because it's abused. You know, the average speed on the highway seems to be 120, 130. We stop people over 150 on a regular basis. We charge people for stunt driving all the time. Well, it is a problem. And how do you prevent the problem? Well, you stop letting them get away with doing 10 over or 20 over or 30 over. We get much more strict in enforcement. People don't like the idea of that. Everyone's sort of gotten accustomed to going fast. Well, I drive at the speed limit. I get to work in the appropriate amount of time without breaking the law. In fact, I have this wonderful thing where I get to watch everybody else slam on their brakes on a regular basis. In fact, I've posted some videos to TikTok and other platforms with my entire drive to work. And all I watch is the blinking lights. I set cruise control. I never touch my brakes the entire way. I don't waste gas going up and down between speeds. I don't wear out my brakes unnecessarily by hammering the gas and brake constantly to adjust my speed. I have a relaxing podcast listening drive to work. And it's almost funny to watch these other people who are absolutely speeding and just wasting fuel and putting people's lives at risk. If someone were to jump out in front of me, I got tons of time to respond because
throw a tennis ball?
Following the law.
Throw a tennis ball in front of you?
Is it who's what?
Or throw a tennis ball in front of you?
Well, yeah, I'd be able to respond to that. And doing 30 or 40 in a environment where I'm actually capable and paying attention and looking in the right place. But you know, you just remind me, I just spent the weekend last weekend with Ford Driving Skills for Life. I don't know if you caught any of my posts or
live. I did. Yeah. Yeah.
There. But it was, it was an event put on where free training was being made available for new drivers, new teens. We had adults, we had all sorts of people participate because everyone's welcome, but it was absolutely free. And the goal was to give you some skills that would make you safer for the rest of your life. It's amazing. What a little bit of knowledge does and how the people who participated were just blown away with the kind of things they were taught. Everything from collision avoidance, braking, traction, you know, recovery. But, you know, how many people don't have any professional training, any, and have managed to pass the bare minimum requirement that we have here? We could all do for some professional training to be safer and have the mindset of being safe. That should be the priority. It shouldn't be texting, ordering pizza. What are you going to do tomorrow? It should be in the now, getting to where you have to go. And again, going back to the car seat story, where that CPST lost her, you know, three lives in that car crash, two of which were her children, one of her children survived. That's heartbreaking. And, you know, it it's hearing those stories that it shouldn't take those stories to remind us how precious life is. But that story really reminded me of the risk that you have. I mean, most people think about breaking the hood of their car, a bumper, an airbag goes off. Oh, it's $3,500. Not burying three members of your family.
Coffins cost a hell of a lot more than that.
No, it's the therapy and forever, you know. How many people have lost loved ones and then not being able to go on? I don't think I'd be able to survive if I can't even get into this. It's way too close to home as a dad to think about if I experienced a tragedy like that. I was telling my kids about it, trying to keep it very light. And they're like, but Dad, we got into a crash. It was okay. Yeah, we were very lucky. We were in a crash on one of my kids' birthdays, going to Mandarin. We were going to have some all you can eat. We never went to dinner because someone pulled out in front of us and we were in a crash. And I you know, people balk and say, oh, you know, big trucks aren't safer. I'm thankful I was in a big truck because their car didn't look so good and ours had minor cosmetic damage. Still cost $20,000 to fix. But, what I'm getting at is any collision could be the last time you talk about it.
This next message is not brought to you by Sean Shapiro or the Toronto Police. Slow the fuck down. Just slow the fuck down. Sean Shapiro, thank you so much. I appreciate your time. As always, my friend, I'm sure we'll have you back on in a month or so.
Sounds good. Yeah, we'd love to come back and talk about all the things we saw wrong during back to school.
Damn right. Thanks, okay, buddy. Want to thank Sean Shapiro, police constable, officer, cop. I'm not going to call him the other name because I don't feel like getting arrested. He's a good dude, isn't he? He's a good dude. He's fun to talk to. He's got that great voice, the voiceover cop. I want to thank Sean Shapiro for being my guest again. And I'm sure I'll talk to him in about 2 weeks. No, not 2 weeks. 2 months is what I meant to say, because he seems to come on every 6 to 8 weeks. He's got stuff to say. He's available. He kind of aligns with my target audience. What's not to love? Want to thank you for tuning in and listening every week. Tuning in. I stopped trying to say that. It was brought to my attention that saying tuning in is a bit of an old school thing because people don't tune in anymore. They don't tune into the dial anymore. Thank you for downloading and listening. Thank you for subscribing and listening is what I should be trying to say. I greatly appreciate it. I know I say that every week, and I will say it every week that this show is, I almost said on the air, but even that doesn't make any sense, does it? It's not on radio airwaves anymore. As long as this show exists, I will continue to thank you for listening. I cannot thank you enough. Tell a friend, tell an enemy, be well, be safe, and...
Thanks for listening.
Damn. What happens when we play outside? We become healthier, both mentally and physically. We become more creative and more focused. We connect with nature, each other, and ourselves. Let's Take This Outside, a new podcast hosted by me, Marianne Iveson, an aspiring outdoor athlete and nature lover. I speak to athletes, outdoor professionals, and scientists about their connection to nature, how it affects their performance and everyday life. Let's Take This Outside, available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, and at letstakethisoutside.ca.
The Podcast Super Friends is a monthly meeting of five podcast producers.
Hi, I'm Catherine O'Brien from Branch Out Programs in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
I'm John Gay from Jaggin' Detroit Podcasts.
I'm Matt Kundle from the Sound Off Podcast Network.
I'm David Yes from Pod 617, the Boston Podcast Network.
And I'm Johnny Peterson from Straight Up Podcasts.
Together, they form the Podcast Super Friends, an alliance of podcast masterminds sharing best practices, insights, and discussions to help make you a better podcaster. Follow or subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or at soundoff.network.